Are you ready for a change? Be it physical, mental, or emotional change, you've already got what it takes to make that happen. Your host for the upcoming program, the Matt Newton Power Hour, has trained in martial arts over the course of several decades. Time and time again, his training methods have saved or extended the careers of dozens of NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball stars. Matt Newton has authored two highly acclaimed books, A Path to Power and The D Factor. The Matt Newton Power Hour starts now. Here's Matt.
Let's do a live radio broadcast. I mean, everybody, everywhere. It is 5 o'clock straight up in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona, on a warm 105-degree, beautiful, sunny day in September. September 22nd, 2011. Hey, gang, I'm Mac Newton, and welcome to the Power Hour. I really appreciate you stopping by and tuning in. You had a choice. Thank you so much. I'm going to make that choice well made for you because we've got a really great show on tap for you guys today. And when I mean we, I'm talking about me and my crew. My crew and I. All of us. The whole bunch. My entourage. Me and the boys and girls. Whatever you mean. Hey, the magic man in the house. What's up, Zach?
How are you doing, Mac Daddy? Good to be back, sir. Excited for the show.
You guys get ready for a live radio broadcast. It's good to have you here. Magic Man makes it all work. And of course, in her customary seat, looking good, making the whole studio smell good, the fabulous Natasha.
Hi, Mac.
Hello, baby.
Hi, Zach. Hi, A-Bomb. Nice to be here. Hello, everybody in the whole universe.
The master of the understatement herself, the fabulous Natasha. And of course, with her notebook in hand and pen at the ready, A-Bomb is sitting in with the house today.
Hi, everyone.
What's happening? Oh, man. We have got a show on tap for you today. But first, as we promised you last week, a little bit of a tribute to the late, great Grover Washington Jr. We sort of got on a roll last week listening to Richard Elliot and his alto and tenor saxophone play. And we really had to check in today with one of the great American legends, the icon of American jazz, funk, jazz, soul saxophonist, Grover Washington Jr. You know what? And I'm going to tell you something about Grover Washington. He was probably one of the finest musicians who was ever tagged or charged with commercialism by the so-called jazz purists, because that's exactly what he was charged with. Oh, you sold out. You sold out for the money. You sold out. Gee whiz, man. Last week, we probably sold exactly 10 jazz CDs in the country. You know, we got to find a way for these great musicians to make a living somehow. And I tell you what, as they created different avenues to make their music more available to others, it just made them better. Because Grover Washington Jr., along with George Benson and John Klemmer and David Sanborn and Bob James and Chuck Mangione and Herb Alpert and Spyro Gyra, just to name a few, that started the you might say the genre of smooth jazz. You know what? A lot of people put it down, but you know what? It brought about a lot of really highly musical stuff for us to listen to in the jazz genre. It was just, I mean, the musicality, the play was at a very high level, especially for Grover Washington and Richard Elliot and George Benson. You want to talk about, you know, you go listen to where's my mind right now, but some of his greats that started, I mean, the one that started, help me out, Zach, with the
Breezin.
No. Breezin that started, that jazz stepped up my man. Woo, he went to bring you out from behind the glass. Breezin, you know, that album right there, Grover Washington Jr. with Winelight in 1980. This album here from 1974, Mr. Magic, that was the one that really set him on fire. Mr. Magic from 1974.
I produced that album.
Did you really? Nice.
No,
good move. Inner City Blues. I mean, you know, and they said, well, you know, it wasn't straight ahead jazz. No, it wasn't, in terms of your contemporary West Montgomery, Jimmy Bruno type of jazz. No, it was not. But I tell you what, it was jazz nonetheless. And you know what, while I'm talking, give me a little bit of that first cut in the behind me here, okay? Let me be talking on top of that so they can be listening to what I'm saying. And not only that, one of the things that Grover did, back it up, take it to number two. Yeah, Gramercy Park. There you go. In order to, I mean, because they had to stretch the limits of their classical jazz training and their classical music training to bring into more of a R&B and even some rock influences to attract more people to jazz, and they did that. And for me, I'm eternally grateful, because if you have people turning off to jazz, where are your jazz artists going to come from the future? Who are the people going to listen to that are going to inspire them? I mean, the youngsters of today and tomorrow growing up, you know, as Grover Washington did, growing up in the Buffalo, New York area. His mother sang in a choir, but his father had a huge collection of 78 LP records, and most of them saxophone music that Grover listened to. And by the time he was 8, his father had given him his first saxophone. And by the time he was 19, he was playing in a band, you know. So if we don't have people who are really attracted to the jazz genre of music, this uniquely American style could go away, could disappear, and what a tragedy that would be. So I'm not one of those who are cursing the musicians like Grover Washington and George Benson for so-called commercializing straight-ahead jazz so they could make a living. I salute them, and I salute you when you don't just download a song, go out and buy the record, go out and buy the CD, so you have something, and so you can open it up and you can read and know who's on guitar on this song, who's playing the organ, who's on drums, so you can get the history. And then when they come out with records, you already know about them, and you can go out and buy that one. Let's keep this jazz music and all music going around, because basically, no matter what word you put in front of it, the second word is music. Okay? So anyway, my musical guest, our musical guest host today, the late, great Grover Washington Jr., who passed away in December of 1999, unexpectedly. Really, I still don't know why. He had just appeared on a TV show, and he walked off the TV and died. Anyway, hey, enjoy every day, one day at a time, to its fullest, gang. I guess there's a message there. So, more coming to you about the great Grover Washington Jr. I want to expose you to his greatness and his style And like so many other great jazz musicians, he grew up in a home where music was being played and where music was being talked about and all the time. You don't have to, if you've got kids, you don't have to be a musician yourself to get them started along that line. Just play music for them, you know, buy them an instrument, you know, until they find one they like or say, hey, I don't want to do that anymore. But give them a chance, because you never know when somewhere in there you might have a great musician just waiting to be exposed. I'm going to change things up a little bit more today. I'm going to make my early segment the final segment of our main topic, because we only had a couple segments left on that. And what would be our early segment today is going to require quite a bit of time. So we're going to start off with our early segment. We're going to give you the final three segments of the seven steps, the seven requirements to inner peace, happiness, and success as we get into studying how to build a positive self-concept. Certainly, we're not done with that topic, but we will be finished with this first step into that area, okay? All right, as we always do, we're going to take a moment to give some you know what I'm going to do here? In lieu of the shout-outs today, I think I'm going to, we got a, for some reason, last week's show must have resonated with several of you, because we've got several emails that touched on last week's show and shows past. And like I say, if your emails are compelling enough, in other words, they touch me in some sort of way, and I feel that others will benefit by hearing them, I'm going to share them on the show, okay? And we're going to do that. We got one from Ryan Hodges, our westernmost listener there in Alaska. Looks like now, based upon, you know, I guess some of the encouragement he got from the Power Hour, he's moved now from Nome to Anchorage. And has moved, he and his wife, to Anchorage, and they've both got great new jobs. I guess just fear was holding them back, and they listened in, and they made a big change. They made a big change. Ryan and I had an opportunity to talk back in July, and they've moved from Nome to Alaska. They have great new jobs, and they've they had not been happy in years. And I guess I've said so many times, you know what? Why are you staying in relationships or jobs or situations that have long ago proven that they don't work anymore? What do you expect it to one day just magically start to work when it hasn't, without doing anything differently? So anyway, he says, we have an internet connection now and we can do our workouts online. And he's doing that and he's loving it. He says he's getting back in shape and he feels great. He's doing the 1.2B in his right shoulder, which I guess was tender during the workout, and he's finally able to put his hands on the ground during the stretching. Yes! Anyway, so he would like more of a challenge during the workout, but he's not sure if he should push the shoulder anymore. You know what, Ryan, I'm going to give you some advice on that, so expect an answer to this email, and I'll give you some advice on what to do with that. Yes, I'm going to move you up to 1.3C. Okay, and I'll tell you how to handle it. All right. Oh, I guess he's also working on the goal setting, and he's also seeing a change in his life there. So, yes, I have some suggestions for you, Ryan, and they will be forthcoming in the form of an email. All right, second email that we want. And by the way, if you want to send an email to me, the Mac Daddy, here at the Power Hour, just send it to 7seven@macnewton.com. Doesn't have to be a question. It can just be a comment, or an idea you have for the show, or a topic you'd like me to explore, or just anything. You want to just say hello? I love that too. Okay. So just want to tell us what you think about the show, good or bad. We like it all. Got an email from Chris this week, and he starts it out with, I guess Chris is one of these smartphone folks, or email, or whatever they, you know, these people that use those letters, LOL, OMG, and I'm supposed to figure that out. Chris, texting. Don't you, don't you ever say OMG to me again. Spell it out, okay? In fact, I'm going to give you 500 mountain climbers for that one right there. OMG. Can you believe it? Someone said to one the other day that I didn't even know what it meant. And so I missed the whole point of the email. Had no point. OMG. Chris, that's 500. In fact, you know what? Make it 600.
Respect. Better start now.
We better get started right
now. You're
going to get more. Exactly.
For LOL, too.
Exactly. Is there an LOL in here? Let me take a look. Okay. Anyway, he says, oh, my God, Mac, the universe is amazing. I missed the Power Hour last week, and so I was playing it this morning, and you had your segment on people and happiness. Wow, here I am sending you an email on Sunday asking you about relationships, and then I listen to the Power Hour, and I'm thinking, no way. He says, oh, my goodness, Mac, you definitely touched so many lives. Well, one thing I need to do personally right away is get back into the House of Discipline. You know, we have a spot for you, Chris. We certainly do. All right? I'll be looking to see you really, really soon. And you know what? I'll tell you something. Chris was saying how I'm amazing. You know, it amazes me when I hear people describe me that way, because you know what I think? I think you guys are amazing. I think that people who are able to search for ways to improve the quality of their lives, even in the midst of it not working, I think that's amazing. I think it's amazing that you'd look for things you can grab hold to and move forward with, like listening to the Power Hour and reading things to feed your mind. That's amazing. That is truly amazing. And trust me, you keep doing that, you're going to come out on the other side of this thing a much more powerful, a much more effective, a much happier, a much more productive and fulfilled human being. Take my word for that. Use me as an example, okay? All right, wanted to share those with you, and real quick, throw a couple power shout outs at you guys real fast. As always, I want to send out my shout outs to Veronica G out there in the Philippines. What's up, VG? All right. All my peeps over there in the UK. We got so many over there in the UK, we can't even, you know, Nunez over there and Kurt and Linda and all the people in the UK. We're big in the UK. All right, we're big over there. All right. So, and of course, Larry and Kimmy right here in the Valley. DC sent me a shout out yesterday. Actually, today, I guess, in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Okay, GA down in GA. All right, Barry and all the Taekwondo boys up in Chicago and Denver and Texas and Alfredo in Mexico and Spain and South FLA. Andy, what's up? And of course, Ryan, too. Wow, all over the world. This is amazing. It amazes me. Does it ever not amaze you, Zach, when you look at where people are coming from all the time? You know?
And as Natasha pointed out at the opening, our new intergalactic listeners as well.
The universe, of course. Yes, yes. They will be beaming in any moment now. Oh, my. And you know what? I really was the victim of a lack of recognition last week when someone on Facebook emailed me and asked me to become an inspirer. She wanted to lose a lot of weight and wondered if I would inspire her. I'm not sure exactly what your definition of the word to inspire is, but you know, just take a chance. I'll inspire you. Be inspired. Okay. There you go. No. So anyway, I said, you know, one of the ways I'd love to do is maybe chat with you once in a while. So, you know, feel free to give me a call at the office. I'm thinking, you know, that maybe she's here in Phoenix or maybe as far away as Tucson, perhaps. But it turns out she's in England, you know. But I just assumed that these listeners are here in the country. They're all over the place. But for all of my listeners in China, please do me a favor. When you send me those emails, push the translation button.
They send it in Chinese. Well, they assume you can understand. It's a Power Hour, you know.
So, push the translation. Don't they have one of those buttons on the email thing? Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, Google has a few translation things. I'm not sure if the characters are showing up here and might be messed up. I'd have to look at that.
But I get all these emails from China, and I'm thinking, okay. sometimes I'll answer it and say, have no idea what you said. Send it to me in English. Even broken will work for me. Well, I guess I should have some Mandarin Chinese skills there. You know, that'll be a way for me to get better off, you know. Thanks for the emails, gang. Keep them coming. 7@macnewton.com. SEVEN. And if you like the show, do me a favor. Tell your friends. Tell your friends, every Thursday, we do it right here. Thursday, 5 o'clock, wherever you are. 5 o'clock in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona. 105 degrees. It is still summer here in the valley. But you know what, though? Even though it's 105, you can tell fall is in the air. It's a cooler 105. In fact, last night at 10 o'clock, it was only 96. There you go.
A refreshing 96.
A refreshing 96. I had the top down in the car riding home. I had the top down in the car riding in the day. And that tells me that fall is coming. Because usually in the midst of summer, it's already 98 degrees and the sun is really hot. So the sun is not quite as hot right now. Temperature is up there, but it's not as hot. So fall is coming. Just keep saying that. But again, we will establish the Newton line at 80. The Newton line is 80. What happens under 80? We call it officially cold. All right? Yes, we here on the Power Hour call it cold under 80 degrees. Right? And what I do is I go into a form of a meditative state, and I just survive till the next 81-degree day, which will be some next year at some point in time. I don't discuss weather. I just bundle myself up and tolerate it.
Okay. No, okay. Yeah, right. Yeah, bundle himself.
Okay, let's see. How far have we gotten so far? Let me just have a quick rundown of what we've done. We're defining what I mean by success and happiness by going over the seven ingredients or requirements for success and happiness. The first requirement was peace of mind, freedom from anger, fear, and guilt, and doubt, resentment, and worry. The second requirement for success is good health and a high level of energy. All right? If you don't have your health or your energy, we simply don't get much satisfaction from life. Our third requirement we discussed is loving relationships, long-term, intimate, mature relationships with other people. That's what Chris was talking about. We talked about that at great length. The fourth requirement, and this is where we are right now. We've got three left. The fourth requirement is financial freedom. We cannot enjoy life if we're worried over not having enough money. Because let me define financial freedom for you. Financial freedom is enough money where you don't have to worry about money. It's not a specific amount of money. I remember when I worked with the Oakland A's, one of the ball players was earning over $3 million a year. And I had to loan this athlete $2,000 to get get his tags and get his insurance enforced. He, even though he earned over $3 million, did not have financial freedom. It's not how much money you make. It's how well you use that money. Great grandma, for example, I don't think she ever earned over $5,000 a year. Yet when she passed away at 105, she left in her bank account over $250,000. And she taught me. In fact, I've even shared some of her financial secrets with you here on the Power Hour. She had learned how money works, and she taught it to me. So financial freedom is simply enough money to where you don't have to worry about money. You can't be happy if you're worrying about money. I'll say this. The first three requirements, what were they? Number one, Zach, what was number one?
Peace of mind.
Peace of mind. Number two, Natasha?
Health and high level of energy.
Exactly. Okay. Health and high level of energy. Well, I'm going to tell you right now. And of number three, what was that, A-bomb?
Loving relationships.
I'm going to tell you something. Nothing is going to stress all three of those things more than not having financial freedom. Most of the problems with relationships, with marriages, in fact, more divorces happen because of arguments over money. Okay? What better way to lose your peace of mind faster than having problems over money? What better way to lose your health? Being stressed out. Than having problems over money. But you know what great grandma told me? She said, any problem you have that can be solved with money isn't really a problem. What you have is a need for more money. You don't have a problem. You got to figure out how to earn more money. Okay? It's not the matter of that you have a problem. You just don't have financial freedom. That's what it is. To be financially free, it means this. You have enough money so you don't have to worry about it continually as most people do. It's not money that lies at the root of all evil. It's the lack of it. Achieving your own financial freedom is one of the most important goals and responsibilities of your life. And most people leave it up to chance. It is far too important, financial freedom is, to be left to chance. It requires careful scrutiny. It requires careful planning. It requires diligence and follow through. In our second segment, in my main topic today, I'm going to be talking about little things, very small things, things that aren't that big but cast a big shadow. And certainly the little things you do involving financial freedom goes a long way. I feel that probably 80% or more of our population in America is preoccupied with money problems. As I said, great-grandma said, and I agree, any problem you have that can be solved with more money, if you can solve it with more money, it's not a problem. I'll give you a moment to think about that, all right? Think about if a problem you're facing right now, you wouldn't be facing if someone dumped $1 million in your lap and you were able to take care of it, would it? Would it make you happy, make you sleep better at night? That's not a real problem. You just need more money. Those are two different things. And money is one of the easiest things in the world to get. All you have to do is figure out a way in which to use your unique talents and abilities and package it in a way and present it in a way where people will buy it. It's just that simple. Just that simple. I started a business a long, long time ago. No college degree. I didn't graduate from college. Heck, I dropped out of high school. I'm not proud of that fact. I don't recommend it. There were other extenuating circumstances. That's not the point of my talk today. The point of my talk today is that it's that the fact that you go to college or finish high school is no guarantee in itself that you're going to be financially successful. Now, there's no doubt about it that the average earning power of the average high school graduate is quite a bit higher than a high school dropout. And the average earning potential over the lifetime of a college graduate is quite a bit higher than that of a college graduate and a PhD and blah, 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 so forth and so on. But it's no guarantee, you know. I've had in my life dozens of college graduates and PhDs work for me. And I never had that. So what you have to do is look at your talents, look at what the marketplace needs, and put together things that you feel that the marketplace will buy. So it's easy to make money. It's a lot easier to make money than it is to bring back some time. Ask me, would I love to have another 20 years? If I could just, you know, rewind 20 years, as long as I could take my mind with me, I wouldn't want to rewind 20 years and go back to the way I thought 20 years ago. That would be scary. I might just jump off of a cliff. No, but if I could take my mind with me back there, yes, I'd love to do that. Can't do it. That's really difficult. Earning more money, that's not difficult. So all of you who are looking for some sort of salvation from that, that's easy to do. Very few things are easier than earning money. It just takes a certain mindset, a certain attitude, as do most things that are valuable. All right. As I said, 80% of the population at least are preoccupied with money worries, money problems. They think about, they worry about money from the time they wake up in the morning till when they're having breakfast, all through lunch, all through the rest of the day. They think and they talk about it all day. You know what? This is just not a happy, healthy way to live your life. This is not conducive to being the best you can be. All right? Oh, yes, money is important. I said that. I put it at number 4 on the list of ingredients to success. It is an essential factor in the achievement of the first 3. Most worry, most stress, most anxiety, and lost peace of mind are caused by money worries. You agree with that, A-bomb, huh? Do you?
Yes, sir.
Right. Do you know someone right now who, if you dropped about $500,000 in their lap, all of a sudden some of the problems they would have might disappear? You know anyone like that? Do you know? Do you?
Sure.
Sure, absolutely. You do. Yeah. Drop. You know what? They got their problems can be solved with money. Those are not real problems. You know what a real problem is? Pancreatic cancer. That's a problem. You know what the problem is? Brain cancer. You know what the problem is? You're losing your eyesight. That's a problem. Those are real problems. Okay? Money problems? You just need more money, and apparently you have poor timing. Okay? Money is easy enough to get. If you're thinking to me, Mac, you're oversimplifying again. I am not. Everyone that can hear my voice right now, I guarantee you I've been broker than you many times. I've been broker. I know it's not a word, but it is in my world, okay? I got lots of words that I just make up. I've been broker than you. I've never been poor, but I've been broke. See, poor is a philosophy. Broke is just a temporary condition where you have no money or very little money. But as soon as you understand how money works, and you understand exactly what it is, that it doesn't define anyone's life, that it is not to be worshipped or praised, that it has a role in our life, as soon as you understand those things, you're going to be far better off, and you'll be able to get it, save it, keep it, and spend it on the right things. It doesn't define you. It doesn't tell the world or God who you are. Many health problems are caused by stress and worry about money. Lots of problems in relationships are caused by money worries. And as I said earlier, it's one of the main causes of divorce, arguments over money. So, therefore, you owe it to yourself. You owe it to yourself to develop your talents and your abilities to a point where you know that you can earn enough money to where, what? You don't have to worry about money. Okay, that's all. That's financial freedom. I don't care how much you're earning. If you've got enough money to where you don't have to worry about money, you have financial freedom. So these people say, oh, you got to earn X number of dollars. You don't have to earn X number of anything. To have financial freedom is enough money where you don't worry about money. That's what financial freedom is. There are lots of people, you know, in the news lately, last week, this week, that there was a guy who accidentally shot his wife, he says, in Florida or something, somewhere around the country in America, you know, lives in a $6 million mansion that's being foreclosed upon, you know, cars and all this other stuff, and rich. He's not financially free. People do all kinds of things to try and get money. People think that this woman who disappeared in Aruba, this guy took her down there. We don't know all the details now, but looks like he tried to get her to sign a life insurance, a travel insurance policy so he could get the money. I guess he's got money problems. Are they real problems? No, he just needs more money. Wow. So you owe it to yourself. Develop your talents. Develop your talents and abilities to a point where you can sell it on the marketplace. And everyone has it. Everyone has them. Every person walking the earth has it. They just may be latent, laying inside of you, undeveloped, haven't been stirred, they haven't been nurtured, they haven't been electrified, they haven't been brought to bear. Maybe it's because of some of the things we're going to talk about in the second half. You haven't done enough of the little things. Okay. A feeling of freedom is essential to the achievement at all these other, to any other important goal. And you cannot be free until and unless you have enough money so that you don't what? Give me an answer.
You don't have to worry about
money. You don't have to worry about money. That's it. Financial freedom is you have enough money to where you don't have to worry about money.
Simple. One of your main aims in life must be to provide for your own financial independence without self-delusion. And sometimes when you haven't planned for that, you make yourself a sitting target because you put so much importance on money, and you would do things. You can be talked into doing things that may not be ethical or even legal or borderline because you place so much importance on money and you feel the burden of not having enough money. A lot of people are in jail because they allowed themselves to be coerced into doing things by someone else to get to solve a money problem. Wow. And if you believe what great grandma said, they're in jail for no reason at all. Ooh, boy. Wow.
They put themselves in prison. I have lots of girlfriends who's buying outrageously expensive stuff, $1,000 dresses, $300 jeans. Do you really need them to be in debt constantly and never pay off? They'll never have freedom.
Magic words, darling. Imagine that you... Okay, let me just skip ahead right now. Let me just skip ahead. Now, once you decide that you want to be financially free, and financially free is enough money to where you don't have to worry about money. Let me ask you a question. How much money is that? So how much money do you need to earn? How much money do you need to earn on a weekly or a monthly or an annual basis? What is it going to take to make you financially free? You may not be able to say it right now. It's going to take some careful analysis. But design your financial life in any way you want. And now you're going to have to develop your talents and abilities, your creativity. Because I love the entrepreneurial opportunities that still exist in America. I am not a great proponent of just going out and get another job kind of guy. I'm an entrepreneur. Sometimes I have nightmares about waking up and I'm working for somebody else and I have to go out and meet a quota or I have to no, it drives me crazy. I have that entrepreneurial spirit. I want to put every dime I have on the line every day. I don't have anything guaranteed to me at all. I'm ready to put my talents and ability on the line on a day-to-day basis. And you have to re-sign up with me every single month. Whether you're online, whether you're in here, nothing is guaranteed to me. I love that challenge. I love it. And I hope you do too. I'm not looking for the site any more security than I can create by taking the surplus money I have and investing it in other things that will work silently for me. Then that's making my money work for me. Money I've already earned through my entrepreneurial spirit. So I like to promote that. I don't want you just to go out and get another job. America was built by entrepreneurs building and creating. And then we fell into a whole deal of let's get a job with a huge company somewhere and let them take care of us. Let us buy into their retirement plans and all the other garbage that they preach to us just so they can go bankrupt right when it's time for us to retire. Just so they can some president can steal our money and retire with a golden parachute. Aren't we all sick of that? Look at the money some of these CEOs are making for some of these huge companies, ripping people off. Where do you think that money came from? My goodness. I want to promote the entrepreneurial spirit, develop your talents, develop your abilities, figure out a way for you to go out and put your talents on the marketplace. That's what I suggest for you. Well, just me. Okay? Just me. All right, the fifth ingredient for success is worthy goals and ideals. All right, you know what we're going to do, gang? We're going to take a break. Zach is about to go crazy over there. I can see right now we're going to run out of this building like it's on fire later today, okay? And my name is Mac Newton. This is the Power Hour. Some people call me the Mac Daddy. The Magic Man is behind the glass. We're listening to our musical guest host, Grover Washington Jr. We may have to talk about him again next week because we've got to come back from our break and jump right back into this water. Okay? And the fabulous Natasha's here with us and A-Bomb. You guys stay right back. Don't go anywhere because we'll be right back. Such of a love did fly, wishing on distant stars, daydreaming. What a burning world. I'm a lucky Hi, gang. I'm Mac Newton. I want to remind you of something that's kind of cool. You know, on YouTube, they have this program now where they will create actually channels for people who love to upload videos, which I am one. We've got probably 20 videos uploaded right now on YouTube, and they're all about things that I've done in the past. Might be interesting to you as listeners of the Power Hour. We've got all kind of old Power Hour shows that are uploaded. Yeah, shows where the Power Hour was on television, where I'm talking about the 3-2 eating plan, and we've got demonstrations of self-defense and kids on and all kind of interviews with musicians and a lot of famous people, all uploaded there on YouTube. And here's what is something special. I've got a free Minimax 7-minute workout for you, a complete total body workout that's available for you on YouTube free. Log on youtube.com. Put in the name Mac Newton, okay, or Mac Newton Channel, and you'll go right there. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor when you go there, gang. I want you to subscribe to my channel. This is going to allow me later on to become partners with YouTube, and sooner or later, maybe then I'll be able to get even my online workouts out there more than ever before. And speaking of my online workouts, they are doing great. You guys are loving it, and we're making changes based on the things you suggest. And in fact, this free workout is one of the things you've suggested. We got more coming. So log on to YouTube and check out all of these videos, all kinds of stuff. Going back when I had long hair. You want to see that? I know you do. Okay, gang. Hey, we'll see you soon. Hey, gang, welcome back. I'm Mac Newton, and this is the Power Hour, gang. We're listening to our musical guest host, Grover Washington Jr., the late great one on alto sax here for you right now. Right before I get back into our thing, let me just continue something I was talking about during the break. I was saying, as I mentioned earlier, that we got caught up. America was started on the backs of entrepreneurs and mom-and-pop stores and people coming out with ideas and inventions and things to make the world a better place. And then they sold those inventions to larger and larger companies. And then as years went by, we all bought into the, let me get a job working for corporate America. Let me get a job in the corporate world. Until finally, we were owned lock, stock, and barrel by the company, selling things and saying things that we didn't believe in, but we couldn't walk away because we were tied by that financial umbilical cord that kept us locked into it. And they wanted us to be up to our eyebrows in debt because we had no options. We couldn't go anywhere. We had no leverage. We didn't have the ability to move around and do anything else. They owned us. They owned us. We had to buy and spout the company line until finally the CEO took all of his money and our money and everybody else's and left. And you didn't even have enough money in your pension plans to pay for things. Wow, you know what? I promote the entrepreneurial spirit where you put up your sign on it and you got an idea for something and you sell that. You sell your ability. If you got that ability, if you're thinking about it right now, you got an idea, you know what? Don't wait till the day you see it on television and you say, you know, I had that idea myself 5 years ago. Well, you know what? 5 years ago, you had it and someone else in Russia had it. But you know what they did? They went down to the patent office and patented that idea and manufactured it. And you're sitting here looking at TV going, well, I could have done that too. Well, save all that what ifs and woulda, coulda. That's another one of my words. What ifs and all that. No, don't do that. You know what? Develop your talents. Take it out to the marketplace. You all right? If it's really good, I'll go buy it. I'll tell you right now, I love buying from that store on the corner. And I will 9 times out of 10, because if something goes wrong, you can call that person on the phone and they will say, I'll make it right for you. How many times have we called some huge corporate headquarters only to get into a maze of one person after another and never get our problem solved? Never get our problem solved. Yes, and we're sick of it and we're tired of it, and that's not how America should work. Done with that. Now, our fifth ingredient for success is worthy goals and ideals. I think that having a worthy goal, and maybe a worthy goal is to start your own business finally, to get out of the corporate jailhouse, because they don't care about you. They care about one thing, bottom line only. They don't care about the customer. They only pretend that they do. You think that General Mills cares about their customers? Are you kidding me? They want to do everything they can to make sure that they can continue to put enough salt and sugar and white flour to keep you addicted forever. They know exactly what that does. It's all about bottom line, folks. They don't care about you. So let's stop that now. So you got to develop your talents and bring it to the marketplace. And then when it becomes a big deal, don't sell it. Don't sell out. Keep it. Keep it. I want to create something so I can sell it and not work again. Oh, stop, please. Your goal is to do nothing and lay on a beach in Tahiti? That's your goal? No. Anyway, the fifth ingredient for success, worthy goals and ideals. Worthy goals. Dr. Viktor Frankl wrote a book, and I've read it at least 20 times, Man's Search for Meaning. It is clear, very clear. He says it is our deepest subconscious drive, and it is the need for meaning and purpose in life. To be truly happy, you need a clear sense of direction. You need a commitment to something bigger and more important than just you. Something bigger and more important in life than yourself. You need to feel that your life stands for something, that you are somehow making a valuable contribution to your world. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you right now. I came in this morning. I wrote a little thing. I'll get to it in just a moment here. Yesterday. It's 24 minutes before the hour game. And I'll go over to you in probably about 5 minutes. Yeah, I'll start that. But there were 17 comments to my little post or blog I wrote yesterday. You know what? And to hear some of the things that these people said about me, it makes me feel that the things that I do is bigger than me, that I'm making a contribution, a valuable contribution to the world. I mean, when people are saying, thanks for always sharing your wisdom, thanks for the reminder about getting clear and living in harmony with our values. Thanks for the encouraging statement, Mac. I just needed to hear that today. Mac, you do such good work. By the way, folks, Mac Newton helped a buddy of mine lose 135 pounds, and in his spare time, he's a master of Taekwondo. Thank you. Here's another one that says, you have been an inspiration for years. Thanks for being you. And it goes on. You know what makes me feel? It makes me feel that my work is important. It's not just for money. The money is just almost a byproduct. It's a byproduct that you're working on something important to you, and the world is buying into that. Sometimes the money tells you how effective you are in serving other people. Finding a need that people, that can fill a need for people, and then fill it. You need a commitment to something bigger and more important than yourself. You need to feel that your life stands for something. Happiness has been defined as this: the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. The progressive realization of a worthy goal. And you will only be happy when you are working step by step towards something that's really important to you. Okay. The sixth ingredient for success is self-knowledge and self-awareness. Self-knowledge. Who are you? Throughout all of history, self-knowledge has gone hand in hand with wisdom and inner peace and inner happiness and outer achievement. The phrase, you've all heard it, man know thyself, goes all the way back to ancient Greece. To perform at your best, you need to know who you are and why you think and feel the way you do. I have started out many topics by saying of some of the most successful people that I admire, they know who they are and what they stand for. It took me years to, but I know who I am. I know what I stand for, and therefore I know what I don't stand for. You need to understand that in order to perform at your best, you need to know who you are and what you stand for. You need to know why you react and respond the way you do to circumstances and people around you. And it's only when you understand, it's only when you know, and it's only when you accept yourself that you can now begin moving forward in the other areas of your life. Self-knowledge, self-awareness. Number seven, the seventh ingredient for success is a sense of personal fulfillment. That feeling that you are becoming everything that you were put on earth by the Creator to be. Everything that God put into you at birth is becoming a reality, and you feel that it is an unbelievable sense of fulfillment. It is the sure knowledge that you are moving toward the realization of your full potential as a human. What does that word potential mean? It means everything that you are capable of, but you haven't done yet. It's a possibility, but it's not done yet. Abraham Maslow, the great psychologist, inspirational writer from San Francisco, he called it self-actualization. He said it is the primary characteristics of all the healthiest, most productive, happiest, successful men and women throughout history. All right, there you go. I've defined seven ingredients for you. Seven ingredients for success and happiness that we're going to use as a starting point for developing a positive self-concept. And this gives you a series of targets, not just one target, but seven different targets to aim at. When you define your life in the ideal terms, when you have the courage to decide exactly what it is you want, now you begin the process of unlocking all of those powers inside of you that are there for you to succeed. You see, I don't think we ever get a vision that we get a desire or feeling for something that we don't already at that time have the ability to make happen, to bring into this world. So if you can visualize it, you can achieve it. Okay. In the weeks ahead, I'm going to continue to talk about this in a little bit. I'm going to show you proven methods of thought and action that you can use to achieve whatever goals you set for yourself. Whether it's opening up your own business, enlarging your business, or if you choose to take the executive route in corporate business, fine, to be even more successful there. This is not so much an argument against corporations as it is an argument for entrepreneurship. And I know it may have seemed that I am anti-corporate America. I'm not really. There are plenty of positive things I can point to. I will not right now. I don't have the time and nor the inclination. But there are plenty of things that I could mention that they serve in an absolutely positive way. However, I feel that the entrepreneurial spirit is really what's going to bring us away from this general malaise that the country seems to be in. Are simply waiting and sit back, waiting for someone else to do something. Waiting for another stimulus package from the government. Please, let that stimulus package come from inside of your head. Whew! I'm going to take off about 10 seconds, gang, and we're going to be right back after this message from our sponsors, which will probably be me. All right? I'll be right with you guys. Go anywhere. I'll be right back, okay? Thanks. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. This is Zach Geist, also known as the Magic Man. The Power Hour is brought to you by Newton Fitness Online, the same high conditioning and training that Mac Newton provides in his beautiful Central Phoenix, Arizona location is now available to you online, 24 hours a day. It couldn't be easier. Just log on to MacNewton.com and go to Mac's gym. Yep, his gym is online now. Just go and select your fitness level and go to class. Okay, don't put it off. Go to MacNewton.com now, check it out, and get in the best shape of your life.
Hey gang, I'm Mac Newton. I want to give you a little bit of an update on what's going on with our championship level goal setting program. It is taking off like a rocket ship. Now, I realize I don't have a place online where you can order it. However, you can call my office and speak to Lisa, 602-957-6492, and you can reserve your copy of Championship Level Goal Setting, which will give you a 2-CD program along with a workbook. The CDs will guide you through the voice with you and members of your team, either in your office or in family, through the entire Championship Level Goal Setting program. It is amazing. As a matter of fact, pretty soon, Blair and I will be embarking on a tour where we're going to be demonstrating this live and in person. So if you see us coming to your area, be sure and jump on board. The Championship Level Goal Setting Program is now available. We've been talking about it online. You've been hearing about it on Facebook. Now is your chance to get your copy, all right? So call 602-957-6492 and reserve yours right now. Temporarily, copies are limited, so jump in and make sure you are not left behind. Gang, welcome back. This is Mac Newton in the Power Hour, and of course my crew, the Magic Man, Fabulous Natasha, A-Bomb set to go off. This is the perfect example right now of Grover Washington's venture into soul jazz, okay? Utilizing voices and certainly an upbeat rhythm, almost a danceable beat. But what a lot of people, these so-called jazz purists, don't understand is that back in the day, that's what jazz was. It was dance music. You know? They went out to the jazz club and they danced, man. Where do you think jitterbugging came from? Swing music. It was done to jazz.
Yeah, then it seems like it got into the part where it needed to be really abstract and
yeah,
be jazz.
Exactly. So what people are referring to, this is maybe this is a return to its roots. Who knows? All I'm saying is, let us not criticize. Let us just, I would say, let us just glorify. Okay? Let us just appreciate, you know? Don't denigrate. Appreciate. Okay. Seems that there's always some haters out there, no matter what you're trying to do.
Don't hate.
That's right. Appreciate. Okay. I'm a poet, and I really don't know it. Welcome back, gang. We're listening to Grover Washington Jr. I'm talking about saxophonist of the ages, one of the absolute greats of all time. And you go out and find something. You know, if you're going to buy an album by Grover Washington Jr., I'm certainly going to recommend this one. This is A Point in Time. Isn't that right? This is called A Point in Time.
This one's Time Out of Mind.
A Time Out of Mind. And then, of course, Wine Light would also be another one that I would recommend for you. Inner City Blues would be another. He loves to interact with. We heard Phyllis Hyman earlier. Bill Withers is on a lot of his stuff. He does that, and really good. He started out playing a baritone sax. You know, really, really, really deep saxophone. Yeah, baritone sax. And then, of course, now the alto sax. You heard a little bit today, but here you're looking at a tenor sax and even to a soprano sax. So across the board, he's got it covered. our musical guest host here on the Power Hour, Thursday, 22nd of September, 2011. 105 degrees outside in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona. We are live on the World Wide Web from Spain to China, South America, the equator, all around the globe. We are beaming and people are listening as we speak right now. Okay, gang. Let's see how far we get on this today, all right? Okay. One of the things I've learned in all these years that I've been on this earth, the successes, the failures, I've learned that successes doesn't come out of doing big things, little things, lots of little things. I don't do big things anymore at all. I just do little things. I found that it's not the big things that drive people into madness. It's the accumulated weight of lots of little indiscretions that sometimes they think are gone, and they're not. And the accumulated weight just wears them down. Little things. Great grandma used to always say this to me. She would say, boy, you better pay attention to the little things. God's into details. And then as she would walk away, she'd always look back over her shoulder and she'd say, so is the devil. So the little things we do, positive and negative, make a difference. I wrote, I guess on Tuesday or Monday, at this point I'm not sure, a little post for Facebook. As if it were yesterday, I remember being 43 years old and homeless right here in Phoenix. I wasn't crazy, and I wasn't stupid. My native intellect was the same or maybe even greater than it is today. I had simply taken irresponsibility and procrastination to dizzying new heights. Amazing new levels of achievement for irresponsibility and procrastination. But at the same time, I knew it wasn't permanent. It could have been, but I felt that it wasn't. I just felt that I had done a lot of really silly stuff. But you know what? Time was running out. I was 43. 43? Holy mackerel. If you don't have a handle on it by 43, come on. You know what? That's not true. That's not true. Some people feel that there's a number by which they've got to have, that they got to have their lessons learned. I'm just a late bloomer. This took me longer to learn a lot of stuff. Don't be saying, well, I'm not 30, so I'm not 25. You might be 40. And you think that the greatness maybe is no longer available to you? Wow. I was 43. I just had my hip replaced a year earlier. And it wasn't working real well. And I, it makes me laugh when I think back to those days. I was so broke that my broke was broke. But somehow I knew it was not permanent. I did three things, gang. I did three things. Because being homeless when you're 43 is a real wake-up call. When the main thing you're worrying about at night, that's a problem. You want to know a problem? There's a problem. Even though money could have solved some of it, but what I was really thinking about was where I was going to stay that night. What patch of grass would I sleep on? would I find a safely positioned abandoned car? Could I find a gas station restroom that was unlocked that I could lock the door behind me? Maybe that abandoned warehouse over on 7th Avenue, that window that I knew was open, maybe it's still open and no one else is there. Maybe I could climb in that window and sleep in there. I remember one night I was sleeping in that abandoned warehouse and a rat ran across my ankle. Good Lord have mercy. Nothing wakes you up faster than a rat running across your ankle. And let me tell you, you roll over and go right back to sleep. Where else are you going to go? Especially when it's raining out, you're happy to have that spot. Anyway, seems like yesterday. I did three things, gang. Number one, I simplified my life. I simplified my life. What do I mean simplified my life? What did I do? How do you simplify your life? Okay, this is how you start. You wanna know how you start simplifying your life? The way you simplify your life is that you get on first name basis with the word no. You learn to say no. You learn to say no. You know, all the students, all the clients in my class, you know, that I need to, while we're on a health program, I have them fill out diet sheets where they write down everything they eat every day and they bring them in every day. This one sheet, I looked at one of my clients and I circled three things on the page and I held that page up to that person and I said, you know what? On all three of those things I circled, you were in the presence of someone else. Were you not? Yeah, because you don't know how to say no. See, people don't understand what no really means. People don't understand that what no really means is it really means yes. Yes, no means yes. Because when you're saying no to something that you know is not in harmony with your values, not in harmony with what you want to do, you are saying yes to things that you want. And when you say yes to something you don't want, you are saying no to things you want. People don't understand that. Let me see if I can even make it simpler. Let's say you're in a relationship, you're married, or you're in a very close emotional relationship with your partner. You're committed to one another, you think. But yet one day you face a crisis. Something confronts you. You're tempted. When you say no to that temptation, you're saying yes to your spouse. If you say yes, you see, you can't say yes to that temptation and yes to your spouse. See, no is yes. We need to simplify our lives by learning to say no. And when you say no, you clear a lot of garbage out of your world. You take a lot of pressure off. No, thank you. Nope. You need to develop the very best habit that you can. And that habit is to say no to any demand on your time or of your emotion that is not consistent with what you want most out of life, with what you want out of that circumstance or that relationship. You need to be able to say no to those demands, no matter from whence they come. And that, man, that is a mouthful for a lot of people. They can't say no. Sometimes we do things in the presence of others that we would never do. When left to our own values, we don't know how to say no. We don't know how to say no. I'm going to sell this car and I'm not going to take one penny less than next number of dollars. And the person comes up and says, okay, you want X number of dollars for it. Well, you know, I tell you what, I've got Y number of dollars in cash. Will you take Y number of dollars in cash instead of the X numbers that you got there? See what I'm talking about? How quickly we're able to sell our values. You understand what I just said, don't you? I've used that tactic many times. Because I know how people have a problem saying no. The word no is one of the most powerful words that you will ever learn. Just say no to any demand or any request that is not a high value use of your time. And then you say yes to the things that are valuable to you, to the people who are valuable to you, to the activities that you need to get involved in. It's now 7 minutes before the hour's game. Stay with me for a while. Don't give up on me. I'm trying to give you a couple ways to simplify your life. Because I did three things. This was the first. The second I did was to clarify my values. See, a lot of people have values. I know the Magic Man has values. I know Natasha does too. I know A-Bomb has values. But you know what? How clear are they? And how committed are we to them under pressure? We need to clarify our values. And see, that's what happened to me. See, it's not that when I became homeless, I didn't have any values. I was some unscrupulous character that didn't deserve to live. No, not at all. I lost contact. My values became fuzzy or vague. As I said, I took irresponsibility to new heights. I took procrastination to new heights. That's the way I got evicted in the first place. Oh, I remember Sandy Alomar Jr. helped me move out of the baseball player with the Cleveland Indians who I was training at the time. Or I had trained in the past. He helped me move into a storage bin. And he says, well, where are you going to be living at? Well, I had no need for his sympathy, and I just simply lied. I just simply said, well, I'll be staying with a friend. I didn't have anywhere else to go. I didn't have anywhere else to go. Yeah. 9 months. I just took it to new heights. So I clarified my values. What are my values? What are the things that's important to me? What things do I aspire to? How do I want to live my life? Is integrity one of my values? Oh, yes, yes, yes. How about consistency? How about perseverance? Yes, 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 I believe in those. Where have you gone, Joe DiMaggio? Where have you gone? All of your values disappeared. Where have you gone? I lost them, it seems, somewhere along the way. I had to re-clarify my values. And then the third thing I did is I began to live my life in harmony with those two things. And then gradually, like an iron door frozen shut with rust and disuse, like an iron door just gradually creaked. Gradually creaking open, the universe started to then conspire with me and become my partner, and weakness was no longer weakness, and doubt was no longer doubt, and solitude was no longer solitude, and poverty was no longer poverty. All right, one more thing. Let me jump back and show you a couple more ways you can simplify your life. Okay? That makes sense. saying no. That's the biggie. That's the major league. Learn to say no. But you got to remember how powerful the word no is. I mean, it's yes. We want to get to the yes, don't we? That's what we want to do. We want to get to the yes, and we get there with no. We need the power to say no. Abom, how many times have you seen people stand in front of me in that training hall and try to get me to change my mind?
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
I always say no, don't I?
Yes, you do.
Because I'm going for yes. I'm going for yes. I want to get the yes. I want them to understand that I am there. I am the gatekeeper. I want them to be able to say, thank you for bringing me back to a level of awareness where I will receive no passes. I have to do the small things. It's not the big things that brought me here in front of you. It's not the biggies. It's the little things I did because I couldn't say no. I wouldn't say no. And I want you to give me a pass. I want you, Mac, to be better to me than I'm willing to be better to myself. I want the world to step up and do for me what I won't do for myself. And I won't do it.
No exceptions.
You can't ask the world to do for you what you won't do for yourself. Here, I'm going to give you two other things you can do to simplify your life. Number one, clean up the clutter. What is clutter? Junk. Stuff on your desk, in your car. You know, someone was going to give me a ride to a stereo store 2 weeks ago, and I opened the door and I thought, what in the world is this? There were empty water bottles, there was papers, there were receipts from gas stations, there was all kinds of stuff. You know what you need to do? Like some people's homes, open up the front door and the back door, bring in a hose and wash everything out the front door. Just get rid of all the clutter. Clean up your life. Get rid of the clutter. Clean it off. Start with your workspace. Clean it up. Get everything off. Stack it in a... I hate clutter. It interferes with clear thinking. Don't have a mess in your workspace or your home. You've got to get rid of the clutter. Got to get rid of it. I mean, go through your stacks of reading materials. Hey, if it's over 6 months old, it's no longer reading material. It's junk. Get rid of it. I'm going to tell you right now. Most of the stuff that are put aside for filing or storage never get looked at again. Ever are the eyes of a human being going to lay upon that. Get rid of it. Get the clutter out of your desk. Get it out of your home. Get it out of your car. Simplify your life. Get rid of the clutter. Increase the breathing space. Give yourself back off a little bit. You know, leaving things off for a while. We have gotten so attached, so connected. We are too connected. Turn off your smartphone. Turn off your cell phone. Turn off your, you know what? When a television goes off at home, goes on at home, all conversation ceases. You ever watch someone watching TV? You know how they watch television? I'm gonna describe myself as I'm doing this. What they do, just sit and watch someone. They lean forward. Their eyes are staring blankly and the mouth slightly open. It's like they're in a trance.
Like a fish.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, exactly. And now here's the second part of the experiment. You can see them like that, and then you'll say, just say something to them like, I'm going to go get a glass of water. And he'll go, what? And they won't even know. They'll just go, okay, yeah. Maybe they just wave at you. Yeah.
Or you can say funny things like, your nose is too big.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, they're in a daze. There's no conversation. Have you ever been sitting at home sometime and a power went out? And there you are, maybe sitting in a dimly lit room with candles, and all of a sudden, an easy flow conversation begins. And then out of nowhere, the power comes back on, and you think, you know, it would have been nice for it to stay out a little while longer. That's the space I'm talking about. Put some space. Get some space, okay? All right. A couple of things you can do to simplify your life, gang. And now, finally, let me see if I can test you. I love putting people on the spot. With the two things I said I took to dazzlingly new heights, what were they, Zach? What were they?
Procrastination and irresponsibility.
You were all over that. I wonder how many of you got it right. Procrastination and irresponsibility. And okay, gang, let me talk about that responsibility for just a second. Among the most important personal choices you can make and that you must make is to accept complete responsibility for everything you are and everything you ever will be. Let me say it again. Everything you are right now, everything you are, you're not the person you are because you got laid off. You're not the person you are because you were first born. You're not the person you are because this happened. You're not the person you are because of the weather. You're not because of the person you are because of the government. You're the person you are because that's the person you've chosen to be. You are responsible for that, and you are also responsible for everything you will become, and you must accept full responsibility for that, or you will never go another step further than you are right now. I learned that in that 9 months. That's as far as you're going to go right now. If you like that, I guess I'm not talking to you. That was a great turning point in my life. That acceptance, not the acknowledgement, but the acceptance of personal responsibility. And that's what separates the superior person from the average person. Not intellect, not grade averages, not degrees. Personal responsibility is that preeminent trait of leadership, the wellspring of high performance. In every person, every situation, accepting complete responsibility means this. It means that from this point forward, you make no more excuses for anything. You blame no one or no thing for anything in your life that you don't like or you're not happy about. You refuse from this moment forward to criticize others for any reason. You refuse to complain about your situation or about what has happened in the past. You eliminate the if onlys and what if. Oh, what if the sky falls? Oh, if only I'd got won the lottery. If only I'd been second in line. Please. This decision to accept complete responsibility, as I said, means that you refuse to make any more excuses or to blame others. You refuse to blame or complain. Eliminate all your if-onlys, all your what-ifs, and focus instead in what you really want and who you really want to be and where you're going. This decision to accept complete responsibility for your life, your results, with no excuses, is absolutely essential. Absolutely essential. If you are not happy with any part of your life, say these words. Say it with me now. I am responsible, and then get busy at it. Say it again. I am responsible, and then get busy at it. And when you do that, doubt is no longer doubt. Solitude is no longer solitude. And poverty is no longer poverty. Whew. Anyone got a hose?
I have a bucket.
Hey, gang, it's like we always say, be good to yourself. All right? If I said something to offend someone, I'm sorry you feel bad about it, but I'm not sorry I said it because I'm trying to make you better. I'm trying to help you get better. I don't want to treat you as you are. I want to treat you as you can be. Be true to yourself. Let your words and your behaviors match. Do the little things to make that happen, especially when it's difficult. Especially when you're under pressure, because it's only a test. You're being tested right now. Only question is, do you pass? Thanks to all of those who helped make my life what it is. Thanks to all of those who are not related to me in any way, form, or fashion. Thanks to great grandma who lived her life, basically gave her life for me. Thanks for all of those people, September 11, 2001, who ran into the fire. All those New Yorkers who gave their lives to save others. They're all around us, these heroes. You can be one too. It's there. Peace. 3, 2, 1. Mag Daddy is out.